Welcome to the Mother Wound Project podcast. I'm your host, Tandy. If your mom has ever said to you, after everything I've done for you, and immediately you felt your stomach drop, you've experienced a guilt trip. And of course, that is not the only phrase that they will use, but it's very common. So today, we will be breaking down guilt trips so you can spot the manipulation in real time and learn how to respond in a way that doesn't lead to an argument or further narcissistic Darvo. If you've ever been in this space for a while, you'll know what Darvo is. But as we go through, first of all, I want to discuss what guilt trips are. A guilt trip is a manipulative tactic, carefully crafted statements that are meant to shift responsibility, create shame, to control your behavior, to get you to do something that she wants you to do, or to make you feel selfish for prioritizing yourself. And of course, there are a million reasons that you could get guilt tripped, right? That your mother might behave this way. But of course, we would be here all day if I was addressing them all. But these are the most common things. And instead of taking accountability for her own emotions, an emotionally immature or narcissistic mother puts the weight on you to fix, to soothe, or to comply. So a lot of times you'll see this, and this has also been my experience. I'm sure many of you have experienced this as well. If I tell my mother that I am unable to come to a family event, there will be guilt trips that happen as soon as I say I'm not able to make it. And it really doesn't matter what the reason is. They don't do reasons. Every time you give a reason, they're going to try to poke a hole in your reason. They see your reasons as something to negotiate, something to argue, to poke holes in. So you will eventually end up doing what she wants you to do. And this is where a lot of the skills, especially that I teach in the Mother Wound Survival Kit, and we do this way more even in the inner circle, is dealing with these guilt trips and handling them so we stop them immediately and don't get in this whole circular argument, you know, trying to defend yourself and all of that. Guilt trips land so deeply because they target your old conditioning that you grew up with. Many daughters of emotionally immature mothers were groomed from childhood to be, quote, the good daughter, the one who sacrifices for her mother, keeps the peace, puts everyone else first, and the one who always does what her mom wants her to do to avoid the backlash. And that backlash could be a variety of things depending on your mother. Sometimes it is just her pouting and shaming and guilt tripping you. Sometimes it could be yelling or screaming, or it could even become physical. It just depends on your mother. But when after being raised in this way, when guilt is used against you, your nervous system reacts instantly. And it feels as if saying no is dangerous because it may have resulted when you were a child in punishment or the silent treatment or getting yelled at or whatever. And so it's just wired in you that saying no to something is scary, it's selfish, it's just easier to say yes to avoid the fallout. And that's something that we want to rewire and find safety inside of ourselves when we do say no, because there are literally times that you need to say no and you need to be okay with it. Guilt trips, what we want is guilt trips to not have control over you anymore. And that's what this episode is about. I want to show you exactly how to recognize these guilt trips in the moment, explain why they hit so hard, why you may, even when it's not involving your mom, when it's involving friends or other people, you still have a hard time saying no. It's like your body is just bracing for impact, even though it isn't your mom. And I do want to give you a few little tips on how to respond in ways that protect your peace without falling into the guilt trap. So let's start with looking at what a guilt trip looks like. And I'm sure a lot of you are like, yeah, I know what that looks like. I know what that means. But a lot of times you fall into the trap still. So we're going to talk about it. I want to get really, really clear about what guilt trips actually sound like. because more often than not, you don't recognize it when you're in it. And when you don't recognize it, you end up responding in ways that keeps the spiral going. So once you can spot it, and I want you to even think about it in your mind at first when you're learning this, of like, this is a guilt trip. Like, she's guilt tripping me right now. Just think it in your mind, because it allows you to be like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. And then it also stops you from falling into the people pleasing and this trap that you always fall into when this comes up. So here are some of the common guilt trip lines that I hear from clients, some of the common lines that their moms use on them. Some of these are also things that my mom has done, so I'm very well aware of these. I guess you don't care about family anymore. It'll break your grandmother's heart if you don't come. Everyone else is making the effort. Why can't you? I've sacrificed so much for you, and this is how you repay me? Your cousin is helping grandma, and you haven't been making an effort. So, you know, these are some common ones. But there are, like I said, we could spend hours and hours all day talking about the amount of guilt trips that an emotionally immature mother is going to dole out to you. But notice the pattern. Every single one of these is designed to shift the focus away from your choice, your boundaries, your reasons, and instead put the spotlight on how your decision is supposedly hurting someone else. So notice how this guilt trip is, these guilt trips, just kind of the fundamental framework of this. It's a blame of you. It's like when you say, Mom, I'm not going to be able to make it to this family party. And your mom says, I guess you just don't care about family anymore. Notice what that is. She doesn't care about you, what is going on in your life. There is no acknowledgement of you. It is immediately, I am painting you as the bad one. You don't care. Do you see how that works? The blame is shifting on you. Again, Mom, I'm not going to be able to make it to the family reunion. Well, you're going to break your grandma's heart. She's not going to live forever. Again, she is shifting blame on you. She doesn't care what your reason is because she wants you there. That's her expectation. And you're either going to do it or you're going to get blamed. This is how the guilt trip works. Everyone else is making the effort. So now she's comparing you to other people and then saying, you're failing. Everyone else is doing fine, but you are failing. Okay. And again, I sacrificed so much for you. Now it's pointing at you. Look at what you're doing. Look, this is how you repay me. This is the pattern that you're going to see in most of the guilt trips. It is going to frame your, I'm not going to be able to make it, into you are a problem. And you should feel guilty for this. Okay. Every single one of these is designed to shift that blame onto you. And so you were trained to prioritize your mom's comfort. So your mom has what she expects, the things that she wants. And or she may feel rejected if you don't show up to the family event, whatever it is, the holiday, I don't know, whatever it is. She either feels rejected or it doesn't meet her expectation. A lot of these emotionally immature moms, and I want to get into a little bit of the holidays because we are going into Thanksgiving and holiday season, and a lot of these emotionally immature moms love the idea of this perfect family. They want everyone to be there because it's a facade. Look at our family. We're all together. We're doing this. It doesn't matter how crappy it actually is, how much she triangulates or manipulates or doesn't care about anybody else. No matter how much of a disaster it is to her, it is this facade that she wants. My mother is 100% this way. She loves, oh, all of our family's going to be together for Thanksgiving. And she just thinks this is such an amazing thing. She would always mention to me about how proud she was, about her children were all righteous, and they love this facade of the perfect family. And so the holidays can get very intense for them. So if you're not going to come, you're going to get a lot of this guilt from an emotionally immature mother because you are failing to meet her expectation of the perfect family that all wants to be together. And or she may feel rejected if you're going to go to, you know, the holidays with a friend or your partner or someone else. She feels rejected. She feels like she's not being prioritized. So she's expecting you to manage those uncomfortable emotions. It's your responsibility to show up here so that I don't have to feel rejected. Do you see how that is? She's centering herself as the priority. She don't care about you. She doesn't care about your reasons or your happiness or anything else. It's all about her. And that's the whole point of this guilt trip mayhem that goes on, right? So her reputation, her facade of being the perfect mom and the perfect family, and we're all together on the holidays and all of this. So when you don't show up, she throws a guilt trip at you. It's like she's pressing a bruise that's been there since you were a child, this sore spot, because whatever it was that she guilted you and you felt shame or whatever about not doing what she wanted, she just presses that button and you cave. Or maybe you didn't, but that's the whole point of it, is to get you to cave. Push a pain point. I'm going to try to make you feel shame. Push that pain point till you do what I want you to do. Get in line, sister. You know what I'm saying? So you immediately feel shame or obligation or fear, or you feel guilty. Whatever emotions come up in you, and it depends on you. It depends on the childhood that you had, how your mom reacted when you were a child, but you may also have the fear of being seen as selfish, or fear of being the bad daughter, or being rude or uncaring, whatever it is that you are carrying. And that's exactly why the guilt trips are manipulative. They don't ask you to make a real, authentic choice. They corner you into compliance, and that's exactly what your mom wants. So this flows nicely into why the guilt trips work. And oftentimes they do. And some of you may say, I've started standing my ground. And that's amazing if you have started doing that. I have a lot of women that I work with that have a really, really hard time standing their ground with anyone. Their friends, or even when, you know, someone at church asks them to help with an activity or something like that, they have a really hard time saying no, even when they really need to say no. Okay? But these guilt trips have likely worked on you for years. They are rooted in that childhood conditioning, like I said. From the time you were little, you were taught to be the good daughter. Or, you know, if you're a religious family, it was, quote, righteous for you to do what your parents told you to do or wanted you to do. And that could have been manipulated into things that it never should have been. That meant keeping the peace, not making waves, and putting your mom's feelings first. And over time, your brain and nervous system linked love with compliance. And this is where it gets dangerous, because I see so many women then doing, and I've even seen, I kid you not, I have seen women that weren't really raised in religious backgrounds still have this issue if they were raised with an emotionally immature mom, where they see love as compliance, and then they go into a relationship with a partner and they still do that. They still defer to what their partner wants, and what, like, defer to prioritizing their partner's family, prioritizing their partner's needs, prioritizing that, because they learned it in childhood. More often than not, it's seen in women with religious backgrounds, because they're taught that that's righteous. But it isn't always that way. Emotionally immature, narcissistic moms can train you to do this. And they have unhealthy relationships because they have not learned that they matter too. And I see it a lot. So your mom was happy and you were safe when you did what she wanted and you complied. But she was upset, or you may have felt unsafe when you didn't. And so that wiring may still be inside you. And the guilt trips that she's using against you today exploit that. And like I said, we can add religion and culture to the mix of this whole thing. If you grew up in a religious home, you probably heard verses like, honor your father and mother, turn the other cheek, forgive 70 times 7. I got a million of them, but I'll stop there. These scriptures are weaponized. Forgiveness is weaponized. They don't nurture faith. They become tools of control to tell you how to interact with other people who have abused you. And that is where it becomes spiritual abuse. They tell you that obedience to your parents, silence about abuse, and endless forgiveness are your spiritual duty. And if you resist, you're told you're unrighteous, you are living in sin, you are under the influence of Satan, all of these things, right? If you want to hold an abuser accountable, you are the problem, not the abuser. And I see that I have seen this over and over and over and over and over again. And I talk about it a lot because it breaks my heart, and I've experienced it as well, where you're just supposed to get over it. And the abuser never has to take accountability for what they've done. So you, let's say this, you set a boundary and your mom fires back. What kind of Christian daughter treats her mother this way? Again, religion is now being used to manipulate you. And I use that because that's essentially what I grew up with, but I'm sure there are other faith traditions that may use something like this as well. You call out a hurtful comment that she's made, and she flips it and says, the Bible says to forgive. You have to forgive me. Essentially, she demands forgiveness without any accountability, without an apology, without anything. You want to speak up about abuse that happened to you, maybe by a family member or something, but you're told not to air dirty laundry. Think of the family's reputation, and then forgiveness is weaponized against you. Okay? All of these layers, the shame on top of your pain, leaving you feeling like you're the problem for speaking up. You're the problem for not wanting to be talked to that way. Even if it is just your mom talks to you in a condescending or passive aggressive way and you stand up for yourself, and all of a sudden you're the problem because you're not forgiving. You're not, you see what I'm saying? This, and this happens across the board. She's going to shame you even if she's not a religious person. She's still going to weaponize whatever she has in her arsenal to make you feel shame for trying to hold her accountable. And that's the second reason guilt trips work. They flip the script. Suddenly, you're not the daughter who endured neglect or abuse or manipulation or has something else going on that day. You're selfish. You're ungrateful. You're the difficult one. So this is what happens. Even if it is like you have to work that day, or you know, your child has a soccer tournament that day or whatever it is, you're ungrateful, you're selfish, you are the problem. So she's always going to flip that script in those guilt trips to turn you into a villain. And she's the victim of this choice. Even if I have seen in very grave circumstances, guilt trips being used. And it's almost shocking that someone can't see that this person really honestly can't show up for very serious reasons. I have seen a lot of crazy things with these mothers. But when this happens, what do you do? Generally, you second guess yourself. You start apologizing for things that you didn't do wrong. When you say, I can't attend this event because I have whatever, I have to work, you start getting guilt tripped. She's not going to understand. She's going to guilt trip you. You get pulled into anxiety, spinning in your head, trying to prove yourself, trying to defend yourself. And this is the thing. We talk a lot about this in the Mother Wound Kit and beyond about Jade. Not jading and learning how to navigate these conversations when your mom starts pulling this victim card and blaming you. Guilt trips are only effective because they target old wounds. And when you heal those old wounds and you see these things for what they are, you don't fall into the trap anymore. And you can also gain skills of how to have these conversations and own it. Like literally, you will own the conversation, which is an amazing feeling. But these guilt trips go straight for the parts of you that were conditioned to equate sacrifice with love, prioritizing your mom's needs over yours. Until you recognize that pattern, you keep feeling the sting every time she gives you a guilt trip. Every time she says, after everything I've done for you, every time you hear that, it hits. And it can hit hard. But the first step in handling the guilt trip is, like I said, learning to spot them in real time. And then recognize the guilt trip usually has three ingredients. There's a statement of sacrifice or duty that is made. So like the, after everything I've done for you, that's a statement of sacrifice. So that she has made, making herself look like the hero here. Or she's going to give a statement of duty. Like she's going to make you feel like it's your duty to attend this. Okay. And then the next one is an implied accusation. So this does not have to be overt. She doesn't have to full out come out and say, you're selfish if you don't come. But she's going to imply that, you know, you're selfish or you don't care about your family anymore or don't prioritize her or you don't care about her feelings. I don't know what it is, but there's going to be an implied accusation. And then there's going to be a push to comply. So you're going to regret this one day or whatever. Then she's going to push for you to comply. And it may not even be about regret. It may just be, I am going to give this statement of sacrifice or tell you that you have a duty to come because it's family or whatever it is. Then I'm going to accuse you of something, hurting grandma, whatever it is I'm going to accuse you of. And then I'm going to push you to comply anyway. And when you know these elements, you can stop yourself from automatically falling into shame and obligation. Just recognize, okay, this is a guilt trip. I see it. So, examples. I just want to give a few examples. If you don't come to the family reunion, your grandmother will be heartbroken. So, here you see this, you know, she's weaponizing this implied thing that you're breaking your grandma's heart. You're hurting your grandmother because you're refusing to come. And honestly, your response, I love grandma, but I am still unable to attend. That's it. Or I won't be attending. However you want to word that, that's it. Don't say, Mom, I told you I had to work, or I told you that I had this thing or whatever. We don't defend. Just, no, I'm still not making it, right? So number two, I sacrificed so much for you and this is how you repay me. So again, you see how there is that first statement of sacrifice and then now the accusation. Response, I understand you're upset, but my decision still stands, or I am still unable to make it. That's all you need to say, okay? The shorter your response, the better. Realize that. I go into a lot more detail of how to do this in a lot of other things and also even with my one-on-ones if this is what we're dealing with. But I just want to give you a few kind of tools here that you can use or at least kind of see how this goes. So another one, everyone else is making the effort. Why can't you? So again, I'm comparing you to other people and then again, accusing you of not being a good daughter or a good person because you aren't making the effort that other people are making. And the response, again, that may disappoint you, but I am unable to attend. I'm unable to make it. I will not be coming. Just make this statement. It's just a very clear statement. And even say, you know, I'm glad. You can even say, I'm glad that everyone else is able to make it. I think that's great. I will not be able to make it. Like, it's that's fine. Acknowledge it. Be like, yeah, I think that's great that everyone else is going to make it. It really diffuses it because she's trying to guilt you with this statement, trying to compare you. And when you're like, yeah, those people are great, when you agree with that, it diffuses the guilt trip. That doesn't work with every statement, so be aware of that. But in this case, agreeing with her would totally diffuse it. Oh, yeah, I think it's great. Everyone's going to be able to be there. I'm not going to be able to make it, but I still won't be able to come, you know, whatever. And it's like, it'll throw her off. And when you kind of learn how to navigate this in that way, you'll be able to get a little bit more creative in the ways that you respond. Again, short, quick, and sweet. Again, your mom may use the I'm not going to be around forever or something like that. You'll regret this one day, some of that kind of stuff. And again, it's just another short, sweet. Don't respond to the guilt, okay? And don't respond to like, you know, telling her not to say what she says or whatever. Just say, you know, you could even say, depending on how you feel, maybe you don't love your mom. I don't know. I have women tell me this all the time in my comments on my social media. I don't love my mom. That's fine. You don't have to say this, but you can say, Mom, I love you, but I'm not able to come. You know, or something like that. And But don't be like, don't guilt trip me or don't identify that, because then she'll play the victim of you telling her, I've done this before. I used to think I was, okay, I'm going on a tangent. I have done this with my mom. I used to think that if I called out in a conversation everything that she was doing, she would recognize it. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but earlier on, I told my husband, I was like, look, I am not taking this anymore. Every single time she gaslights me, every single time she guilt trips me, I'm just going to tell her. Now, any of you that have been in this space for a while are probably cringing like, oh, that's not going to work. You're right, it doesn't. And that's why I'm using this example, because I don't want you to make the same mistake that I did. So I'm in a conversation with my mom, and she passive-aggressive, guilt trip, condescending, like every damn conversation, this stuff is going to happen. Like, she cannot help herself. And so we'd be in a conversation, mom, that was gaslighting. And she would start almost like whiny, cry, I can't believe you would accuse me of that. What a horrible thing to say. Someone, oh, I can't. And I'm dead serious. Like, she would start playing the victim like a champ. And I was like, oh, well, that didn't go the way that I thought. And then we go on a little bit. Mom, that's a guilt trip. Oh, I can't. I would never. I just love you so much. Okay, now we got the victim again. And what I finally figured out is you do not argue with these people. You cannot call them out. You can't argue with them. If you were to point out in any of these, mom, don't guilt trip me. Mom, that's a guilt trip. She's going to play the victim. Like, that is not a good idea in a response to any of these things. It's literally, I love you, but I'm not going to be able to make it. You know, I understand you're upset, but I'm still not able to make it. Like, that's literally how you have to handle this. It's just very, and again, notice how I didn't say, but I have to work that day. No, I didn't use an excuse. I just said, I'm not coming, you know? And you can be kind about it, but it's got to be like little teeny tiny short sentences, okay? And notice that. You are responding, you are not defending. So when you start to defend your position, you're going to get pulled back into justifying yourself. You're going to get pulled into her, I always call it like her tornado. You're going to get pulled in the minute you're trying to justify your reasons why you can't make it, or you're trying to defend yourself. Now you're on the defensive. You don't own the conversation now. You've lost it. Okay? That's why we don't say, I can't make it because. I don't care what comes after that, because if she's going to use it against you. Don't do that. Don't do that. It isn't going to go anywhere. And also, don't call out the gaslighting. Don't call out the guilt trips, as I said before. Not a good idea. Tried it. Personal experience. Learn from my stupidity. Do not do that. Okay? It's just short, sweet, to the point. And if it gets, like with my mom, you know, if it gets too condescending, passive aggressive, whatever, you just have to end the conversation. And that's another thing that I go into a lot in my other programs. So here's the part that most daughters miss. To an emotionally immature mother, a boundary is never a boundary. It's always a negotiation. It can be a target. If she's a narcissist, it's a target. An emotionally immature mom's just going to cross the boundaries, just like they don't mean anything to her. But a narcissistic mom is almost going to try to cross the boundaries intentionally. So when you say, I can't make it, your immature mother hears, convince me harder. I'm dead serious. This is where the guilt comes in, because she's just going to keep harping at that boundary that you've set, whatever it is. And that's why you have to pair a boundary with an exit strategy, because even when you say, you know, I love you, mom, but I'm not going to be able to make it, or I love grandma, but I'm not going to be able to make it. Even when you do the things I said, all of you that have emotionally immature moms know exactly what I'm talking about. It is never going to end there. And you know this. So you state your decision once, you refuse to debate it, and if she pushes you again, you leave the conversation. So let's say we've already had the conversation. You're going to break grandma's heart. Let's say it was that one, because it's family reunion, grandma's getting older, you're going to break grandma's heart, whatever. And you've already said, I love grandma, but I'm not going to be able to make it. Then your mom pushes and says, everyone else is going to be there. Okay, so we layer on. You know this is how this goes. We're not going to play this game. We already said we're not coming, okay? And she's going to push. I promise you that she's going to. If you haven't done this already, if you're new to this, I promise you she's going to push. She is not going to take your no. They don't take no for an answer. They just don't. My mom does not, ever, from anyone. She thinks that she is the literal, like, exception to everything. So what happens after that is then she says, everyone else is coming, right? You say, Mom, I've already given you my answer. I'm not going to discuss this anymore, or I'll have to go, okay? And so what you've done is you've said, I've already told you, I will not. So you've set another boundary. I have told you, therefore, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. And then you tell her what will happen if she does. You know, if you bring it up again, I'm going to have to go, okay? And you can say it, however, in a way that's authentic to you. So let's say she pushes again. Or she starts whining, like, I can't believe this, you know, victim, right? Then you say, you know what, I'm going to have to go. I'll talk to you later. Hang up the phone, walk out of the room, leave, whatever you got to do, okay? This is it. Like, this is what has to happen, okay? You're going to have to physically leave after this. If you do not, you will end up in the tornado. It will end up in an argument. She'll be playing the victim, and you'll end up apologizing, and you know I'm right. Because I'm sure this has happened to you multiple times. You're not going to get out of it with your mother respecting your boundary, especially the first time you tell her you're not going to come to something. And it's not about being rude, okay? I know a lot of you, there are some of you out there that, some of you people pleasers out there, they're like, no, that seems so rude. I don't want to hurt her feelings. Like, do you see what you're doing there? You're feeling responsible for her feelings instead of yourself. That's the problem, okay? This is about breaking yourself away from emotional enmeshment. This is about breaking yourself away from toxic patterns and protecting yourself, because you know you leave emotionally exhausted and who knows what else, anxiety, ruminating thoughts, I don't know, but I know that these interactions are really stressful, and so we're trying to dismantle that. Boundaries without an exit strategy are just words, and you're going to get sucked into a mess and probably end up apologizing and caving. Because emotionally immature mothers are experts at wearing you down. Okay? They are. So the guilt trip is only going to work if you stay in the conversation. That is your biggest issue. Your power comes from recognizing the guilt trip, recognizing the manipulation, responding once, and then exiting without guilt or shame. That's how this works. Okay? So if you're new to standing up for yourself, I hear you, my people pleasers out there, love you, okay? Love you, love you. You are amazing, but you have to stop doing that all the time. It is great to love people and want people to be happy, all of that, but you're starting to recognize, I hope, that you do need to stand up for yourself, and sometimes you do need to say no. And so if you're new to standing up for yourself, guilt trips can leave your nervous system buzzing. You feel very dysregulated. You may have anxiety, stress. Even if you said all the right things, you may hang up the phone or walk away feeling shaky, anxious, guilty, shame. I don't know. Emotions start coming up. This doesn't mean you did anything wrong. That's number one, really important for you to know. It means your body is still wired for survival and people pleasing. So the first thing that I want you to do when you leave a conversation and you get in the car or you've hung up the phone, what I want you to do is breathe, and you can find a technique that works for you. There are dozens of them. I have done breathwork training in the inner circle. Before we start any of our webinars or meetings or anything, we always do just a little bit of grounding and breathing, really short in the beginning. And I do that because I want these women to find what works for them. So we try different things each week. You can put your hand on your heart if that feels good to you. And just take 3 deep, slow breaths. That's just the most basic thing that you can do. Let it out through your mouth. Let it out. You can just feel your feet on the floor. Just feel yourself sitting heavy in the seat, in the car, wherever it is that you are, holding yourself. However, you can do the self-hug. You can put your hand on your heart, whatever you feel comfortable with. And I just want you to reaffirm, I'm not responsible for her feelings. I'm not responsible for her feelings about my choices, okay? That's your mantra. Repeat it as many times as you need until your body softens and relaxes. And just keep deep breathing as you're driving away. Just kind of breathing. Let that kind of breath move that emotion. Okay. Stress does get trapped in the body. So shaking your hands out. This is another practice that we do on calls at times. Rolling your shoulders can help. Moving your jaw and your face around a little bit. Wiggling your fingers, you know, just any type of movement just to kind of release a little bit of that trapped energy. I love to tell people emotion is energy in motion. It needs to move. If you hold it, that's where we get into a lot of anxiety and stuff. You can also do butterfly tapping, which is tapping your upper chest, alternating hands on your arms to calm the nervous system. There's a lot of things that you can do to calm. Learn some somatic techniques. Look it up online. Find some that resonate with you and do them just to help calm yourself down after you've set boundaries or stood up to your mom, because it can be really difficult in the beginning. And one of the best antidotes to the guilt trips is validation from safe people. So if you have some safe people in your life that understand, call or text a trusted friend or your partner or whatever after the interaction. Share what happened, how you responded, and how you're feeling, and just talk about it. Sometimes just hearing someone say, you did the right thing, you're okay, I'm so proud of you, just helps you settle and reinforces your reality. So the goal isn't to never feel the anxiety, but it's just to be able to recover faster and remind your body and mind that your boundary is valid and that you are safe. That's the biggest point. Okay, so I want you to just, as a take home, as we kind of close this, that a guilt trip is not love, and your boundaries are not selfish, and you are not responsible for managing your mother's emotions or anyone else's. I mean, it's different if you're just being a jerk, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about if you're being a jerk. You shouldn't be a jerk, right? That's obvious. But you're not responsible for managing other people's emotions when you're not able to make it to an event. That's just a normal thing that happens. Things come up, we're not able to come. A mature person can be like, oh, okay, cool, like totally get it. An immature person is the one that gets their panties in a wad about it. That's not your responsibility, okay? You don't have to keep sacrificing your peace just to keep her comfortable. You don't owe anyone your silence or sacrifice just to prove love to them. You just don't. And they shouldn't expect that from you either. So, if this episode resonated and you are feeling like you're ready to start breaking free from this guilt-based conditioning, the people-pleasing, the perfectionism, if you're ready to really dive in and figure out how to navigate this relationship in a way that feels good to you, if you're just kind of barely dipping your toe in the water, the Mother Wound Survival Kit is a starter kit. It has just scripts, like the scripts. This is what you do. You can take those and use those responses to end this cycle. There are nervous system tools. There are ways to start learning some self-confidence. Like, it's just, it's like your survival kit. It's like your 72-hour kit. It's got the water bottle. It's got the food. It's got the basic necessities that you're going to need. That's what this is, okay? There's also the Daughters Rising Inner Circle. It will be opening up within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Spots are limited though, so you'll want to get on the waiting list. This is where you get the support system. You'll be put in your own sister circle of 5 to 8 women who are there to support you. When you have a rough interaction or struggling in any way, you can come into your sister circle. You'll have your own private community where you can interact with them. And just, hey, this happened, I'm struggling, and they can understand you because they are all daughters of emotionally immature moms. They understand what you're going through. We have group coaching calls. We have weekly webinars, seminars. There is a full healing curriculum with literally everything you can possibly think of. It took me forever to set up. But I really just poured my heart and soul into this for women who really need that deep support. So if you want to get on the waitlist, I will be emailing the waitlist first when it opens up, and then it will go out to my social media followers. It won't be announced here on the podcast unless there are some spots. Like, I will give my waitlist people a week first before I announce it anywhere else. If it fills up, it fills up. So get on the waitlist if you want an opportunity for that. Or we can work one-on-one with hypnotherapy or coaching, whatever it is that you need. If you feel like you're needing some support, I am always here to support all of you. And you can find all of that on the website at themotherwoundproject.com. Or you can find me on Instagram at themotherwound.project. So, and there's a lot of videos and a lot of support there as well. So I hope that this was helpful for you to just kind of feel even just validated in how you feel when you go through these guilt trips as you're starting to set boundaries and kind of start to exert yourself a little bit and find your own peace. So I am grateful for you, and I will see you next time.